Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the end of the season, but we're not fully there yet, to the Brad and Body Podcast. Body, how are you, mate? It's great to have you here.
Thanks very much. It's great to be here.
Well, mate, we have a fantastic guest today, but before we do that, I have to announce, which is with all my heart, I can say so thoroughly deserved, and I'm so proud to be able to say this, our own Body Nodge has been announced into Basketball South Australia Hall of Fame. Mate, a huge congratulations and so thoroughly deserved.
Thank you so much. It's really humbling and quite extraordinary. It's not something I ever anticipated or expected. So it came completely out of the blue. And yeah, I'm just, as I say, I'm humbled. Words fail me, Brad, to be completely honest.
Well, can I ask, because I'm not 100% sure, like when you see basketball, people getting into basketball, obviously you see players and, you know, coaches and everything, but to come for someone, it just shows how important you are and what you've done for basketball in South Australia, mind you, the NBL and Basketball Australia in general, but I'm just saying to be put into here. Oh, mate, I got goosebumps for you. I think it's fabulous.
Thank you. Look, the 43 years that I spent writing about basketball was like never having to work. Mm-hmm. I love writing. I love basketball. To have the opportunity to write about basketball was an absolute godsend. It was fantastic to be able to watch the career of someone like a Brett Maher or a Rachel Sporn at their very beginning, or even going back further, Darryl Pierce, people like that, and then watching their entire career and then watching it conclude. So being able to chronicle that entire journey is an absolute privilege, and the sort of people I've met through the sport have just enriched my life so much. So I just, yeah, I'm blown away by this, and there's not much more I can say, really.
No, absolutely fantastic, and so happy for you and proud of you, mate. You know, I mean, you know, I've known you for so many years, but we've become really close over the last year or two, and I can say it's just with privilege that I say well done and congratulations.
Thank you very much. I truly appreciate it. But let's move on now.
Let's move on. Enough about you. Let's go.
Enough about me.
Well, today we have a beauty in store for us. This man, well, he was born in the USA, the big, beautiful USA, and he went to Iowa State University. He is known as the Man Mountain in the NBL, and of course he played for the Nunawading Spectres in 1983-85, Eastside Melbourne from 88 to 91, and none other than the great Sydney Kings from 1992 to 96. He is my man, my beautiful friend, and can I just say, we love Simon. So welcome, Kramer, to you, Dean Utoff.
Hey, Kazi, how are you, brother? Nice to talk to you.
Good on you, mate. Thank you. Body, over to you, mate. And just so you know, he calls me Cozzy because we love Cosmo Kramer.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised he doesn't, you know, call you Rocky and you call him Bullwinkle, because when you're playing together, that's what it must have looked like.
I remember Dean would tell me is just, I'll get the rebound, you run. He would just throw that ball. Oh, it was so much fun.
Yeah, so Dean,
right. It saved me running down the end of the court just watching Kyle score, that I could just get the rebound. I think I extended my career 2 or 3 years by doing that.
Throwing the touchdown pass. What brought you to Australia, Dean? What brought you to Australia? How did that all come about? Like, you've come out of college.
Yeah, I came out of school. I tried out a couple of times with San Antonio. I got cut twice. My best friend, Chuck Harmison, at the time, had come out a year earlier, and he was playing with Nunawading, and he mentioned that I should come down. I might enjoy it, and that's what got me down here. Back then, we didn't have contracts. It was all a handshake. I didn't get paid any money. I just came here. They gave me an old car, a job, and a place to live, and we used to play three-game weekends and then work from 7 to 5, Monday to Friday. So it was a tough life. It was really tough.
Did you come out here in Nunawading? Like, did you go straight to the Nunawading team?
Straight to the Nunawading Spectres, that's right, cuz. we had a really nice side. I can remember back then we had three imports were allowed to play on each team. And 1 year later, they came to me and they said, look, the NBL's changed. We're only allowed two imports, and we're going to cut your best mate. I said, I don't care if you cut him or not, as long as I get a game, I don't want to end up with him.
Like a joke.
It turned out all right anyway, because I think he ended up going to Coburg or some team like that. So it was okay.
Yeah. Well, he ended up doing quite well at Illawarra too. So I think he still lives at Wollongong, doesn't he, Chuck?
he's still on the go. I think he could probably run for mayor down there if he wanted to, and then shoe it in. But I think he's doing like 25 hours a week at Bunnings, and he does some surfing and all that sort of stuff. To be honest, I don't speak to him very often. He just sends me a text once in a while, just says, playing golf, loving life, you know, and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, he's got good life down there. Everybody loves him.
I see him when I go down there and commentate. So he's still a good man, and he's a Bunnings. He's probably the Bunnings trade player of the week. Boom, boom. That's Dino. What took you from Nunawading to Eastside? How did that happen in '88?
Oh well, they're really the same team. They just got a little bit bigger. I mean, Eastside was just, we were still the Eastside Spectres. Just had a took on that little bit more of a geography area and yeah, and then that's when I met Gorgian, and Gorge coached us his first year over there. So that was pretty fun too. He was a good guy, Gorgian.
So what? How much were you training in those days? Like, was it just Tuesday nights and Thursday nights, or around work? How did it work?
No. As we went on a little bit more, we used to train Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and then play on the weekend. And Wednesday was our day off. We didn't have things like physios and rehab and ice baths and all that rubbish. You know, we just turned up. We strapped our ankles and away we went. You know, it wasn't like it is these days. You know,
They're spoiled these days.
I was hoping I would have come out here 30 years later. I mean, I would have got looked after really well, and I wouldn't have to be working now.
So, what did they have you doing when you first got here? Like, what job were you doing?
Well, my first job, I was working in a factory putting screws in theater seats. So I had a drill, and I just three screws. It takes us a week to do a semi load. It took about 20 minutes to load it on. It was really depressing. And as it turns out, the company I was working for got the contract to put the new seats in the old Sydney Entertainment Center. So those are the seats that I was and I ended up playing there. And they were watching me from my seat that I went with. So yeah, that was my. So then I got a job. I got tired of that. I got a job driving a forklift. So that was a lot better. I didn't have to be on my feet all day, but that was better. It was still damn cold though in the factory. And then I thought, I'll get a job doing. So then I got a job as a sales rep, and I asked the guy why he hired me. He said, I hired you because I'll always remember you because you're tall and you got the American accent. I wasn't very good at what I was selling, but you know, it was better than working in a factory.
And yeah. when did the time flick over that you were like, all right, I don't really have to work now because I'm playing? Was that in Sydney? Was that in Eastside? Because then obviously it became professional.
Yeah, I got okay money at Eastside there in the end. I got nice money in Sydney, and I got a lot of perks in Sydney as well. You know, they really threw everything at you, you know. So, yeah, Sydney was obviously the best place. It's like the end of the rainbow. I mean, we had so many players come to Sydney, you know, staging out their career, you know. And it's like, if I got it in Sydney, I'll get my pot of gold, and then I can stop playing sort of thing, you know. So Sydney, they really, really took care of me here in the Kings, and I'm still very grateful. You know, I don't follow the NBL anymore, but I don't feel too bad about that because nobody that were at the Kings is there now. So, you know, yeah. I've moved on. I've got other interests in my life now.
I'm the same with the 36ers, even though Brad thinks they're my team.
These days,
I don't really know anybody that has anything to do with them, and they don't seem like my club anymore. I'm actually just more interested in watching games generally and just enjoying them for what they are.
Yeah, I agree. You know, you get good players out here now because there is a bit of money around. But, you know, the thing that I wish they hadn't changed was when I came out here, basketball was a winter season sport. So in North America, it was summertime. So you got all your good imports, you know, because if you wanted to play basketball in the summer in America, there's only one place to play, and that was in Australia. We should get really nice imports down here. And that all changed, of course, when they went to a summer season sport. They wanted to try to get the media, you know, a little bit more media, you know, with the journal and the radio and the TV and so forth. But you know, I wish they'd go back to the other way around and have it as a winter season sport, really.
Well, they sort of almost have this year, Dean, because they're still going. Like this 2021 season, this won't finish till Friday when Melbourne beats Perth, and that'll be over. And so we're right into June. So there has been an overlap, and it really, crowd-wise, it hasn't. And I don't know if it's COVID or the fact that, you know, we're back up against footy and rugby, but the crowds haven't been too flash.
Yeah, that's really disappointing, isn't it? I mean, but, you know, I think a lot of it does have to do with COVID. You know, everybody gets a little bit tense and inchy about it. You know, you get one guy, you walk down the footpath and one guy sneezes and 10 guys crap themselves. You know, that's why there was all that toilet paper problem earlier in the day.
Oh my God, is that what it was? Finally, we cleared it up.
If this doesn't sound like a Seinfeld episode, nothing does.
One guy sneezes and 10 guys craps themselves. Yeah. You're like, oh, it's COVID. Oh my God.
Hey, Dean, I want to ask you. You obviously, I know, just for all our listeners out there, Dean, when he finished, he was part of the King's Furniture. He was around. He would be commentating all nights at games. He'd be the court game announcer. He was fabulous. Yeah. So you watched a number of games, Dean. Did you see the game changing in front of your eyes? Because that big man like you in the middle is just not around these days. It's just not like that. When did you see that?
Well, 100%. I think probably I started to see it a little bit with Matty Nielsen. Matty was like, he'd play that inside player, then he'd start to drift out as well, you know. And that's like, you never see anybody get 20 rebounds a game anymore. You know, you just didn't see that because guys just play on the perimeter so much, you know. And like when I'm at work, they say to me, how many three-pointers did you shoot, sir? And I said, I shot three in my entire career. So we weren't allowed to do that. We went basket to basket. That's when it was really hard being a big man, you know. And the legitimate, you know, big strong guy really isn't in the competition much anymore. I got nothing against the 3-point line and everything like that, but it just changed the game a lot.
It did, and it's interesting.
Go on.
Yeah, I was going to say it's interesting because your career, just so everyone knows, your highest was 34 points and 34 rebounds, rebounds in a game. Man, that's a vacuum. Well,
I would have had 42, Cosmo. Bloody Gorgon had dragged me in the fourth quarter.
those are Wilt Chamberlain's type numbers, aren't they? We don't see that anymore. I mean, Mark Davis used to get 20 here and there, but you just don't see that anymore. I mean, Landale got 17, and that's probably like the most we've seen in a long, long, long time.
Yeah, I really think it's because, you know, big guys they don't play under the hoop. They play in the perimeter, and you're not going to get a lot of rebounds doing that, you know. So I don't know, but that was really all I knew how to do was to rebound. You know, I was stupid. You know, I couldn't score, I couldn't play any D, I didn't block shots, but I thought all I have to do is get the ball and give it to somebody else, and they'll score. I can do that easily. So I was very lucky. I'm pretty sure
you set a few bone jarring screens just here and there too, Dean. I can remember guys bouncing off you.
Let me tell you though, bud, I gave as good as I got. I'll tell you a quick story. We're playing Geelong, and Ray Borner was playing for Geelong at the time, and I was with Dwayne McLean, and I set a pick on for Dwayne, and the little guy Bobby Locke ran right off my shoulder, and boom, he was out. He was unconscious. He was out playing in Geelong. And I said to Ray, Ray didn't even say anything. Like, he'd just say, screen, screen, screen. Ray didn't say anything. I said, Ray, what the story? Now they're all mad at me, and you didn't tell him the screen was coming. He goes, well, I don't like the guy. He said, I don't like the guy. He said a little bit more explicit than that, but basically he didn't like him, so he didn't say anything. So, anyway. But I gave as good. I got as good as I gave, I thought, you know. I mean, it was fun back then, though. I can remember having my eyes shut, and another time Ray was playing for Coburg or North Melbourne, whoever it was, and I said, "Hey Ray, Ray, what's the score? I can't see it." He pops me again in the other eye, so I couldn't really see anything then. So it was good back then. It was fun. It was fun.
Yeah, did you have an agent? Did you have an agent?
Oh God, no.
So how did you get from Melbourne then to Sydney? Was that they approached you? How did that happen?
They approached me, and they sent me down some paperwork. At the time, I was having some personal problems with my wife, and she needed medical attention, and she could get that here in Sydney, not better than Melbourne, but a little bit more advanced than Melbourne was. So as it turned out, you know, it was the right move, basketball wise, future wise, and for my wife health wise.
Yeah, beautiful. What are you doing now?
I do as little as possible, to be honest with you guys. I do some casual teaching. I do about, you know, 2-3 days a week or whenever they need me. I work for the Parramatta Diocese, and you know, I got a great life. I got a great life. I really have. I'm very blessed.
Kids must absolutely poop their pants when Mr. Utoff walks into the classroom and you take up the entire doorway just getting in. You would have no discipline issues, would you?
Well, discipline's not part of my vocabulary, Bo, to be honest with you. The kids all know that I don't really care much about, you know, how they behave, as long as they do a little bit of work and we have some fun. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And school is not always about, you know, ABC 1 2 3. It's about listening to the kid if they got problems, you know, not judging the kid, helping the kid in other ways, you know, bringing some extra food if you know they didn't have any the day before. You know, to me, that's what it's all about. It's not always about ABC 1 2 3.
But I'm just gonna jump in here, Boddy, because I want to say, like, I mean, I know Dean's here, but I'm going to talk to him as a third person here. Can you see the enthusiasm that comes off in Dean? This was now, I want you to sort of picture, I've now joined the Sydney Kings and I'm watching Dean Utoff, who I'd watched play for a number of years. Can you believe, like, a young guy like me, I go into a team and I've got a guy like that there. And I remember he always used to say to me, turn that frown upside down. And that was his number one saying, always smiling, really? The most happiest man. He used to go to all the schools. He would teach these kids. He would be, mate, Dino, I know we're great mates, but you are an absolute inspiration. And I keep hearing it, you coming out now with the way you're talking. It's unbelievable.
Well, can I just put some kudos onto you, Kazi? I can remember we had players, buddy, that didn't want to go and do the work. They didn't want to go to the schools and do the clinics. They didn't want to drive there. The lady who gave them the paperwork didn't highlight their name so they could say, oh, I didn't see my name. It wasn't highlighted. And then they said, I don't want to drive. So you know who they'd say? Brad, can you take us? Brad, can you take us? And he took everybody every time. Every time he took them, because he didn't want the guy to get in trouble and he wanted to promote the Sydney Kings. He just wanted to do the right thing.
So I was also told by Alan Black that I'd play more minutes by doing it, but that didn't really happen.
Did he lie to you like he lied to me?
Wow.
Hey, did he lie to you like he lied to me? Did he? Come on, tell me the truth.
I hear you, Rella. You know it. Idiot.
Hey, I'll tell you a funny story about Adrian Hurley. Do you want to hear a funny story about him?
Sure.
Go for it. I was on an Australian team. I was doing all right, you know, da-da-da-da. Anyway, you can only take one naturalized player to the Olympics. And Leroy was there as well, Leroy Loggins. And they took Leroy. And I got no problem with that. Leroy was an awesome player. He deserved to go. Anyway, I got told about it by, like, the manager of the Australian team that I didn't make it. And anyway, long story short, 6 months later or so, I was at a function. I had to speak. Who was sitting in the front row? Adrian Hurley. I said, God, it's great to see so many people here. I haven't seen Adrian Hurley, the Australian coach. I haven't seen you since you cut me from the Australian team. Well, I didn't get a handshake that night, I got to tell you. But he was a great guy too. I had a lot of fun with the Australian team when I was playing for those guys. It was fun, and Adrian did a good job. He was a really nice man to me. Until he cut me.
Yeah. That's how Brad Newley felt about Andre Lamanis too. He was a good guy until he cut me. So. But you're talking about doing some teaching. Have you done any coaching? Because that would sort of seem like a natural thing, given that you enjoy teaching people. Yeah.
No, I've been coaching at the same school now for 11, 12 years. I do the little under 13s, the little ones, and then I do the first up in the top grade range. So, yeah, I coach at a really nice school. It's the staff there are really nice to me, and I'm sure they get lots of negative emails about my way I behave on the road. I remember we were playing St. Pat's, and Carfino was the coach at St. Pat's, Steve Carfino.
Yep.
And you know, when you go to this school, you got to imagine, oh, it's terrible. Anyway, something happened, and I said, every time I come to this goddamn school, I get cheated. And my fort master was saying, you can't criticize the school. You can't do that. Of course, Carfino kicks up a stink as well. I said, every time I come to this goddamn side of town, I get cheated. So I didn't stay in school, just that side of town. But we play in the same competition as one of the ex-Sydney Kings, big man Brad Dalton. He's been working at this school forever, and every year that school wins it. So Brad does a great job as well. So I take my hat off to Brad. He does a really, really good job.
That's great news. Dino, at this time of the podcast, what we do is we throw some names at you and we just look for, like, one word, one sentence answers, what these people, in a sense, mean to you. And if I say their name, what's the first thing that comes into your mind? Please feel free to not hold back. So I'm going to start the conversation, and I'm going to go Bob Turner.
Great guy.
Okay, Barry Barnes.
Forehead vein. You ever see Baz get angry? He's got that vein in the middle of his forehead. It just pops out, you know, like it's a third eye or something. You know, I'll tell you a quick story about him. When I first came to this country as my head coach, he used to just run up and down the sidelines swearing at the players, and the players are swearing back at him. And I'm looking at my mates going, what the heck's going on here? They're swearing at the coach. They don't call him coach. They call him Bazza. Yeah, but he'd always have that vein in the middle of his forehead just protruding out, you know. Really good guy, though. Good guy.
I'll go next. Brian Gorgian.
Boy, I tell you what. Gorgian. I'd say I don't care about anything. You would go to Gorgian's house, right? And the girl he was living with, Amanda, beautiful woman, spent all this money refurbishing the house. And they had the mud and the grass and the crap growing out of the gutters. So when it rained, you couldn't go in the gutter, so it'd come inside the house, brand new house. I say, Gorge, you got to get up there and clean the gutters. Oh, I don't care. Amanda will get it fixed. Or you get in Gorge's new Mitsubishi that we all got a new Mitsubishi back then, remember, Kaz? And it'd be dirty coffee cups, baby vomit in the back seat. It's just gross. I say, Gorge, come on, you got to look at it. Oh, I'll just get a new one next week anyway. So, you know, Gorgian back then, he was a good coach. He turned into a really, really great coach.
Yes.
Really great coach. You know, he's a good man. I would never say a bad word about Gorgian. He's a really good man. He looked after me, and he would ring me up after training some nights when I was at Eastside. He'd go, Spark, we cannot keep going on like this. You've got to listen to me. And I'd be like, Gorgian. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. I'm glad he's had so much success because he certainly deserves it. He does.
Yeah, good stuff. Mm.
Just segueing from this segment, did you have any involvement with Bruce Palmer as a coach? I have some vague recollection of Siebel or something where you guys might have been together. Yeah.
When I hurt my back at Nutterwine, when I come back, I had to play 2 years at Dandenong, and Palmer was the head coach then. Okay. And we had Al Westover on that team. We had some really good players on that team, and we did really, really well, you know. The bad thing about it, though, buddy, was you go to Dandenong and play in the old fruit market, and driving home, you drive past Palmer's house. And, of course, everybody would stop there, and he's there. They're doing all these illegal things and smoking, you know, and drinking beers and all this stuff. So he was a good guy. Palmer's a really good guy. I had a lot of time for him. Him and Gorgia were best mates. Still are.
Still are.
Yeah.
Yep.
But and I had so much fun with those guys back when I was younger. So, yeah, a lot of kudos to Palmer and Gorgia.
Beautiful. You did mention this name previously, but I just know he means a lot to you, and I want to get your thoughts. Chuck Harmison.
Oh, yeah. He'd be my best friend, you know. You know what, Kaz? I've got this long list of names, right? People that think they're my friend. You know, because, you know, and I've got this long list of names. And I'm sure when I drop dead one day, all of these guys are going to come to my funeral and say, oh, we knew he's a great guy. We wish you do this to you. I've given my long list of names to my son, right? When I'm dead and you're at the funeral, and go to that guy and say, you know what? My dad never really liked you. but Chuck would be up there on the top. You know, he's a really good book. He's a good book. He's really looks after me, you know. And if I ever need anything, you know, like Kazi, I call Kazi or I call Chuck and they help me.
Yeah, you're a good man.
You know, when I was working at the Advertiser newspaper in Adelaide, where, you know, often people would be leaving and going on to other jobs or retiring or whatever, and there'd always be a big card passed around for everyone to sign, and I would always sign it, I never liked you. So, if they knew me, they knew if it was serious or not. So, but that really cracks me up.
I've got a list of guys that think they're my friends, and those guys know who they are too.
Okay, I got one last one for you, but you already mentioned him. I'm just curious as to what your summary of him would be, and that's Adrian Hurley.
Adrian Hurley?
Yes.
Is that who you said?
Yes.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy. You know, like, I didn't know him from a sack of beans, and, you know, I went in there wondering, what the hell am I doing here? And he gave me a chance. And I can remember we were playing over in Europe, and I was doing pretty good, and he kept starting Dorgy in front of me. You know, Dorgy, Don George.
Yes.
I thought to myself, well, you know, I don't have tickets on myself, but I think I'm doing a little bit better in Dorgy and training and such. Well, we just want to get Dorgy ready for the Olympics. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. But, you know, he's a good guy. You know, he gave me a chance, and like I said, Leroy was with us as well. And Leroy, awesome player, one of the best to play in Australia. Yes. You know, and you can only take one at the time. So, you know, I just appreciated the opportunity. And, you know, like I said, you guys, I'm blessed. I'm just a farm boy from Iowa, you know? And I come to this country over 40 years ago, you know, I had nothing, you know, and I've got a wife in heaven. I've got a beautiful wife I'm married to now on earth. I've got a beautiful son who's going to have his first child in 2 months. You know, I've got 3 beautiful grandchildren, you know, and one of my grandchildren, I don't know if you're interested, she's only 9 weeks old. She was born with a genetic defect called the Burke Barrel syndrome. Now there's 25 people in the world that have this syndrome. She's the youngest one ever to be diagnosed. She might never walk, won't talk, won't eat solid food. She's just up against it completely, you know? Yeah. And I truly believe that I was put on this earth to help people. You know, I had my wife who needed my care for such a long time. Now we've got the granddaughter who we have to help mom and dad. And I just wake up every morning. I think I'm vertical and I'm moving forward. Life is good.
Yes.
Life is good.
Got to agree.
You know,
got to agree.
I'm very blessed. I'm very blessed. You know, I'm just very, very blessed. And when I played ball, I was just an average ball player, but I tried really hard. And I think that Australians, just if you give it a good 100%, you know, that's all they really care about. Win or loss, not a big deal. You give it all, you know, well done, mate. Well done, mate. You know,
so mate,
I'm very blessed.
I don't know if you can finish that on any better note, Dino. You are an absolute legend, and you're not just a standard old bloke. There's nothing like that, mate. You are an absolute inspiration. Hearing your little story then, I know these things because obviously we are very close, but I'm so glad you shared that because you are one in a million, mate, and we cannot thank you enough for coming onto this show. You're a legend.
Well, Kazi, I'm only as good as the next day. So I try to do something nice tomorrow for somebody and try to do something nice the next day. And hopefully it'll come around as it always does. So
paying it forward.
Kazi, you're not on that list of friends. That's going to give it to you.
I am not going anywhere near your son at your funeral. I promise, mate. I don't want to know.
You see, Nathan, the other way.
Nathan, good to see you. Sorry, mate. I've got to go. And that was by a text message.
Good on you, blokes. Thank you for the time. And I hope it goes well for you. I really do.
Thanks, Dean. All the very best.
Nice to see you. Remember, giddy up.
All right.
I was so excited there, Boddy, to have Dean on the show. He's a good mate of mine, but I just knew he's got a great story and you know, to hear his basketball story. And you know, he's gone through a lot. You heard that at the end, right?
Yes, absolutely.
It hadn't been easy. And, just the most beautiful gentleman, really. Did it come across that way? It does to me.
Yes, he does. Because if you don't know Dean and you've seen him for the first time, so back in the day when he walked in, this powerfully built 6'10" guy, and you couldn't read a lot off his face, you know, he was automatically intimidating. So to sort of get to know him a little bit and to find what a gentle soul he really is and how he really feels about life and people, that's fascinating. And I'm so glad we did the interview.
Yeah, well, I had so much fun with that guy at trainings. He was always smiling, always happy, but more so always that guy on your shoulder, you know. Just unbelievable. Really great guy. Anyway, let's move on. NBL. We spoke last week. I actually thought it would be a split. I thought Melbourne would win game one. I thought Perth would get up and win game two. Obviously, we know it's 2-0 now. All 3 games to be played in Melbourne. I got a simple question for you. Will this thing go more than 3?
No, I don't think so. They took their best shot, Perth, and full credit to them. Absolutely full of admiration for what Trevor Gleeson did on the sidelines in terms of coming out in a press and then dropping in a half.
He tried
press
everything.
Change. Yeah, he did everything he could to keep that team off balance. And he did it with players that we haven't seen much of. And, you know, I think that's a phenomenal effort. And I have nothing but respect and admiration for Perth, especially Mitch Norton, who's playing through injury. And then you've got the situation where now Clint Steindl was hurt. Luke Travers is hurt. Obviously, Bryce Cotton isn't there. So I think what Perth
Not to mention Norton's on one leg.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's playing through it. He's been bloody amazing, to be honest. Yeah. You know, we had him on and we know what a tough guy he is, but boy, is he showing it. So
Well, let me ask you this.
They've done their best. That's my point. They've done their best, and their best wasn't good enough.
I agree. Let me ask you this then. Who would be your MVP of the Grand Final series based on the two games so far?
Yeah, Chris Goulding by a long way.
Yeah, I thought that as well. And look, I thought Jock was great the other night, but I mean, Chris has got that dagger in him, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he's just every time they even make a slight run, you know, bang, dagger, hits that three. But also how he's bringing that team together. Yeah. You can just see he's saying, we don't care about their injuries. Don't worry about it. Just keep playing. Stay focused. Don't get off the track. Stay on the train. And, mate, I think he has been – well, that game one was wow. And game two was just unbelievable. So
they were very similar, though, weren't they? Perth came out as strong as it could, got as far in front as it could, and then had to basically try and desperately hold on and then fell behind. In the first game, they fell behind 68-58. In the second game, they fell behind 69-59. It's like it was like a mirror image. Of course, it was a different game, and we saw a different Mitch Norton. But
they did a great job because Melbourne, you know, they're a team that could easily score 90. And for Perth to stay in this game, you know they need to keep them at a low score. And they did that. They just didn't have the firepower to get it done the offensive end.
That's right.
Were there any shocks for you for the awards night? I know we chatted about it last week. We had Bryce's MVP, which was interesting. Trevor got Coach of the Year.
I was kind of thrilled.
Well, you said it. I actually listened to our pod because we got great feedback from the Damian Martin one. And I listened to our pod and you said you actually thought Brian Gorsham will win it, but Trevor deserves it. So, you know, it was interesting. And he got it. So it was, you know, a real good one.
Yeah.
Any shocks to you?
No, not really. Maybe the NBL second team. You know, that one was a bit debatable, but no.
I thought Josh Giddey might have got in that.
Yeah, I think we get a bit excited about Josh Giddey, to be honest.
No, you don't.
I'm not knocking the kid. I've never knocked the kid, but I'm just saying I'm not on board with all the hype. I'm just not on board.
Fair call. You know? All right, talk to me. What's your Nods Nasty?
Look, my Nods Nasty is I want to do what everyone's done and give full credit to Perth. Absolute full credit to Perth for what they've been able to achieve, which is take those first two games to Melbourne and really take it to them and give them their best shot. But their injuries, they're crippled, all that stuff, we take that on board. They've played great. Now, here's the thing. In no way, shape or form should we diminish Melbourne winning this championship, okay? It's not their fault that other guys got injured. They can't do anything about it. All they can do is go out and play the team that's on the floor in front of them. And that's what they've done, and they've beaten it twice. They'll beat them again a third time, and they will win the championship. And there's not going to be any asterisk next to that championship saying, oh, yeah, but Perth had a few injured players. Because there's no asterisk next to the New Zealand Breakers one where Damian Martin was injured. Oh, yeah, Damo was. That doesn't happen. So I want to give credit to Melbourne.
That is a brilliant point. You have made a good point because you know what you also got to keep in account to there is we played, 36 games?
Yep.
They've been on the road for, I don't know, a month, right? Because I saw them in Sydney recently. They couldn't go back to Melbourne.
Right.
So they've been on the road like every other team. They've had to fight injuries like every other team. They lost some key players as well, right? And whilst I agree with you, you've got to give kudos to Perth, mate, Melbourne survived it.
Yep.
They are the survival of the fittest, right? Okay, yep. Perth have got injuries and they fell down. Melbourne just keep going and they're potentially playing their best basketball at the right end of the season. And as a coach, that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, and you can't diminish their achievement by saying, well, the other team, I'm sorry, if Jack White was playing, if there's a lot of ifs, okay? All you can do is beat the team that's there in front of you. They're doing that and hats off to them when they win their second championship, which I'm anticipating will be Friday night.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Now, tell me, rattle. Give me some rattle, rattle.
Well, mine is, mate, what happened to the Perth Wildcats? Did they run under a ladder? Did they run over a cat? What has happened? This team, mate, I'm telling you, there's a chance that they were going to call Body Nodge up for a run, mate. Where every player's just fallen to the wayside. What's happened?
Well, I don't know, but I'm just saying I don't think the decals are safe. That's all I'm saying. I don't think the decals are safe. What was Bryce's injury? Like, you got a lot of groin injuries happening all of a sudden. That's all I'm saying.
You're a funny man. Well, that's it. We're going to leave it. BOTINAGY, bodynodge.com. Check out the articles. It is brilliant. We also want to thank Piranha Media. Thank you for all your support. Our numbers are going through the roof. It's been fantastic.
Hang on a second. When you're in Adelaide. Come on down. We've got to go down to Burger Boss. Get ourselves a burger.
They
make great burgers at Burger Boss.
When I get down there, Body's taking me out for one for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to take Will Magne down there and sit him down and say, mate, you can't keep playing like your mentor, Matt Hodgson. Can't help myself.
Bad habits. Oh, we had to get one in there to finish the thing, mate. You have been brilliant. Again, Boddy, congratulations,
thank
mate.
You very
Basketball
much.
Hall of Fame for South thank Australia. You. So thoroughly deserved. Everyone, enjoy the grand finals. I'm at least predicting, please go to game four and give us more, but I'm with you. I think it will go to game three. Everyone, Boddy, thanks, mate. Have a great week.
Good night.
So, Boddy, I've got to ask you, mate, what happened when you got the call for Basketball Hall of Fame? Were you watching Vikings?
No. I accidentally, you know, I thought it was a gag, you know, because that's the sort of thing friends of mine would tend to do. So, yeah, it was really amazing to find out that it was legit. Yeah, and now I've got to plan a speech, Brad, and I'm going to be mentioning you quite a lot.
So you should. That's what my wife said in our wedding speech. Didn't get a thing.